Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently teaching through a series of topical studies, and coming up, we're finding out that each and every one of us has the same God-given purpose, and that's to know Him. The message is called Knowing God, so let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Chronicles 28 as we go back to basics.
Thousands of people all over the nation and around the world, gathering together in churches, ostensibly recipients of the gospel, but they've missed the chief objective of the gospel. They don't know the Lord. They don't know Him personally. Jesus said this in prayer to the Father. He said, "You have given me authority over all flesh that I should give eternal life to as many as you have given me. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So, you see, God wants us to know Him. He wants us to live in intimate communion with Him. He wants us to all be able to say freely, confidently, from experience, "I know the Lord. I hear the Lord. I sense God's presence. He walks with me. He talks with me. He speaks to me. He guides my life. He leads my life." That's what the gospel's about. You know, most people understand things in terms of religion, right? And you've probably all experienced this at least one time or another, where somebody will refer to you as religious. "Oh yeah, you're religious, right?" And of course, we understand what they're trying to communicate is that, you know, we're into some sort of a God thing. But you know, that is the best opportunity. If you're ever at a loss at how to, you know, start sharing the Lord with somebody, just do something to get them to ask you if you're religious, or to, you know, insinuate that you're religious, because that's the open door right there. So many people have said that to me, and I always take advantage of the opportunity. "Well, actually, no, I'm not religious, but I do have a relationship with the Lord." And that's the distinction that we often make. Religion smacks of rules and regulations and rigidity. And, you know, it's the idea that I'm doing my best. And as it's been pictured before, you know, man on his tiptoes, reaching up and, you know, trying to connect with God. That's religion. But we're not talking about religion. We're talking about the God who came down to man so that we could have a relationship. So this is the first thing. If one is to know God, we have to know, first of all, whether or not God is willing to be known. And the answer is a resounding yes. He is willing to be known. And He's done everything to make that possible, even to the point of coming down to earth Himself as a man. But then there's also that aspect that would fall a little bit more on our shoulders, and that would be a pursuit of knowing God on our part. So if we're going to know God, we not only have to understand that He's willing to be known, but we have to also be willing to pursue Him. So what does that look like? How do I get to know God better? Well, there are three different things that I think we could say about that. First of all, we can glean from those who have known God longer and therefore know God better than we do. Now, let's just go back to the human illustration for a moment and say, you know, there was somebody you really wanted to meet. You had a couple of friends that knew that person already, but you'd never had the opportunity to meet that person. And you really wanted to get to know them. And then say you finally have that opportunity. You have that moment where there's an actual meeting. But then you walk away and you think, oh, you know, I met that person, great. But you really like to get to know them better. Well, one of the things that you would do is you get together with those others that have known that person longer and you say, hey, tell me a little bit more about so-and-so. Tell me a little bit more about your relationship. Well, what do you know about them, you know, in this regard or whatever the case might be? And so likewise, the same is true with God. There are those who have known God much longer than we have. There are those who then would know God much better than we do. And so this is where we can glean from others. So we would look to older, more mature Christians to help us get to know God better. This is why fellowship is so important. Fellowship is gathering together around the person of Christ and mutually encouraging one another. And when you get with somebody that's just known the Lord, walked with the Lord, and experienced God in a powerful way in their life, it's a blessing. So fellowship, discipling, which sometimes today we're using the term mentoring. People are saying, oh, I'd like somebody to mentor me. What is a mentor? A mentor is a person who has, you know, a degree of expertise in a certain area, and they're going to impart that to someone with less understanding. This is why we encourage, and this is why I'm so excited about the possibility of meeting together in the smaller groups. This is why we encourage people, get involved in the men's fellowship, get involved in the women's fellowship, get involved in one of the smaller groups where you can meet people who have known the Lord longer than you, they know the Lord better than you, and they can be a blessing to you. They can help you understand. By their own life's experiences, they can help you understand this God that you're just getting to know. There's also the pastors and the teachers and those gifted individuals that God has blessed with the ability to communicate the truth. And of course, it's not just that they can teach well, but in most cases, they've lived a while. They've got a relationship with the Lord. They've had a lot of experience. And so as the teaching comes across, the Word of God is being taught, the experience is being combined with it, the stories of God's intervention in their life, all of that stuff serves to help us to get to know and understand God better. So that's why it's important to do what you're doing this morning and what you do throughout the week as you plug in and as you're taught. But there's also many great things that have been written by many of God's people throughout the ages that can be beneficial in helping us to get to know the Lord. There are books that are a little more theologically oriented that explain to us the nature of God, the attributes of God, the character of God. These things, of course, are all contained in the Bible as well, but sometimes it's good to have some of those things just sort of extracted and just, you know, just concentrating on some of those things more specifically. That can be very helpful. I really enjoy the biographies of men and women of faith. And I try to stay sort of, you know, just consistently reading in biographies and history of the church because you see God working in people's lives. And you realize, wow, the Lord did this for them. And, well, I could probably expect that God would do something like that in my life as well. I can't tell you how many times I've been reading through a biography or a history, and I found that the very thing that I'm reading about somebody else having passed through is exactly what I'm going through. And God uses their experience to minister to me. So, first, A pursuit of knowing God on our part looks like gleaning from those who know God better than we do. Secondly, spending quality time alone with the Lord. Spending quality time alone with the Lord. We emphasize this, but it's so important. And I think in the day and age we live in, it's so vital. We live in the most cluttered and distracted age that earth has ever known, I would imagine. And there are so many things vying for our attention. And of course, on the one hand, as God's children, we're always with Him in one sense. He's always with us. And we can take that as a fact as we go out each day. The Lord is with us. We're with Him. But, you know, you can be with somebody. Cheryl and I travel sometimes together, and we go to conferences and we minister. And a lot of times throughout a whole day, we'll sort of be right side by side, but she's talking with somebody here and praying with them, and I'm ministering to somebody over there. And we're together, and there's somewhat of a blessing in that, but we oftentimes find ourselves after that saying, hey, let's just go take a walk, and let's just spend some time together ourselves. Let's unwind, let's share, let's pray. And that's the same thing with the Lord. You know, we could technically say, yes, God's with me all the time. I'm with God all the time. But because of the distractions we have in the world, there are times we got to stop and say, wait, I need to spend some alone time with the Lord. Spending quality time alone with the Lord. Now, here's the thing that we have to realize. Have you ever had the thought, reading the Bible, say reading the Gospels, for example, have you ever had the thought, I wish I could have been there. I wish I would have been one of those apostles or one of those people in the crowd or, you know, for you ladies, oh, I wish I could have been one of those women that traveled with Jesus. You know, many of us have probably had that kind of a thought. And it's understandable. But here's what we don't realize. We can have the same kind of relationship. When the Bible talks about Jesus having been raised from the dead, one of the things that it's actually in sort of inferring is that the relationship that existed between Jesus and the disciples before his death is now available once again to those who would believe in him throughout all of history. And so we can have that kind of confidence, that the same kind of relationship that the disciples had in the days of his flesh, it is possible for us today. Now, some people have really tapped into this. Some people have really understood this to the extent that they will talk like they were just down at the beach with the Lord this morning. Yeah, the Lord and I were walking along the beach this morning, you know, and we were talking. And, you know, I was saying to the Lord, and then the Lord said to me, and some people are scratching their heads saying, what are you talking about? What do you mean? Was God right there on the beach with you? Well, in one sense, yes, he was. He was literally there. In another sense, he wasn't. He wasn't there in the physical sense, of course. So that would be one of the differences. His presence with us as Christians is spiritual, not bodily. And the other difference would be that Jesus speaks to us today not in the exact same way that he spoke to his followers when he was in the flesh, but today he speaks to us by applying to our consciences those words of his that are recorded for us in the pages of Scripture. But we, as we take the time, as we say, okay, I'm going to take the time to cultivate this relationship with the Lord, we can be confident that he's as anxious about and excited about getting alone with us as we are with him. And as we're talking about getting alone with him, our third point is listening intently and seeking to understand. And this is where the Bible comes in. Now, of course, everything I've said has had the Scriptures in it to some degree. But this is where we come to that place of what we might call biblical meditation. Meditating on the Word of God. See, this is the place where we really meet with the Lord. When I get alone with the Lord and I open my Bible and I say, God, I want to know you. God, I want to hear you speak to me. Lord, I want to understand you in a greater way. As we come and do that, and then as we set aside the time to meditate, we find that the relationship is growing and developing. And isn't that how relationships work? How do you get to know somebody better? You spend time with them. The more time you spend, the better you get to know them, especially if the time spent is intimate sort of time, where you're really opening up, where you're really conversing, where you're really delving deeply into one another's lives and personalities and so forth. Meditation, quote from J.I. Packer, he said, meditation is the activity of calling to mind and thinking over and dwelling on and applying to oneself the various things that one knows about the works and ways and purposes and promises of God. It is an activity of holy thought, consciously performed in the presence of God, under the eye of God, by the help of God, as a means of communion with God. It is a matter of talking to oneself about God and also about one's self. The word meditate, the idea is to muse, or the idea is to chew it over. You know, sometimes people will tell you something, they'll say, well, chew on that for a while. Or you know, what are they saying? Well, think about that, ponder that. But like I was saying, the problem that we have is we're so busy that we tend to bypass this thing. We're kind of like Martha, the sister of Mary and Lazarus. You remember? Martha was busy, and Jesus came to visit them in their home, and Martha was there in the kitchen. She was busy. She was working hard. Mary was attentive. She was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Martha was annoyed by that. And she came to the Lord and said, Lord, tell my sister to get in here and help me in the kitchen. And the response of Jesus was great. He said, Martha, you're worried about and distracted by many things. But one thing's necessary, and Mary has chosen the better part, and it's not going to be taken from her. Now, Jesus wasn't implying that you should never clean the kitchen, ladies. Or, guys, he wasn't saying don't ever go to work, or, you know, just drop everything you're doing in the world and just read your Bible. He wasn't saying that, but what he was saying is that there's one thing that's vitally important. There's one thing above everything else that really matters, and that is that we get to know God. And so, to some degree, all of those other things do have to be just sort of set aside. Sometimes they need to be set aside completely, where we just say, you know, this is a big distraction in my life. It's out. Getting rid of it. In other cases, it's, you know, this is distracting me right now. I'm not going to think about this right now. I'm going to put that aside for later, because it doesn't need to be done right this second, and I'm going to spend time seeking the Lord. Now, in closing, here's a few questions. The first and most important question is simply this: have you met the Lord? Have you come to know him in that initial sense, that introductory sense? Have you met him? And of course, that takes place through receiving Christ. Jesus is the one through whom we come into this relationship with the Father. And we're told that as many as received him, to them he gave the power, the right, the authority to become the children of God. If you've met the Lord, if you haven't, you need to. If you have, here's the question: are you pursuing a deeper relationship with the Lord? Are you getting to know him better and better? The chief end of man is to know God and to glorify him forever. If that is the chief end, then we see how this really is the priority. And you know, when it's all said and done, it's not the things that we think are important or priorities or the things that might we might think would commend us to God in the end. That's not going to be what it is. I have known people who have known the Lord, walked with the Lord, loved the Lord, sought the Lord, but yet had a lot of distraction in life. I've known people who've been stricken down with illness, in some cases terminal illness. And the one thing that I've seen pretty consistently across the board in those kinds of cases is that everything else becomes irrelevant. And these people, they want to know God, especially the terminal ones. And I remember a few friends who were dying. And man, you couldn't talk to them about anything else. You couldn't get them interested in anything else. You couldn't get them distracted by anything else. It was all Jesus. They wanted to know God because they knew that it wouldn't be long before they would be meeting Him. Don't wait till you're dying to do this. We need to do it now. God's calling us now to come to know Him in a deeper and in a greater way. One more quote, one quick exhortation, and we're finished. Again, Packer says this: once you become aware that the main business you are here for is to know God, most of life's problems fall into place of their own accord. The world today is full of sufferers from the wasting disease known as absurdism. Absurdism is life is a bad joke. And from the complaint, nothing tastes, which is an expression of boredom. These disorders blight the whole of life. Everything becomes at once a problem and a bore. Doesn't that sound like our present generation? Everything's a problem and a bore because nothing seems worthwhile. But listen, these are ills from which, in the nature of the case, Christians are immune, except for occasional spells of derangement when the power of temptation presses their minds out of shape. And these, by the mercy of God, do not last. What makes life worthwhile is having a big enough objective. Something which catches our imagination, lays hold of our allegiance, and this the Christian has in a way that no other person has, for what higher, more exalted, and more compelling goal can there be than to know God? We should never be bored. We should never be looking at life as absurd because we have this continual opportunity to go deeper and deeper and deeper into God. And so I close with this. I want to give you a challenge for this week. And the challenge is this: take some time this week. Turn off the TV. There's probably not a greater time waster in the world than the television. Stay off the internet. Draw near to Jesus, and He'll draw near to you. Remember the promise: you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Let's not be those who had the opportunity. Let's not be that kind of people that would leave the Lord waiting, but let's take advantage of the opportunities that we have now. Because the greater we grow in our understanding, the deeper we go in our relationship with the Lord, you know, in the end, we get the benefit from it.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the Scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called Knowing God, and the resource number is OBB527. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.